In a world that prides itself on knowledge and power, where success is measured by strength and achievement, the message of the cross stands as a stark beacon of hope. On this third Sunday of Lent, we're looking at the difference in the wisdom of the cross and the wisdom of the world. Think about, picture a huge palace made of the finest materials known to man, towering above a huge, bustling city. This palace with its golden-laden doors and windows of crystal symbolizes the pinnacle of human achievement and wisdom. But outside the city, on a humble hill, stands a simple, unadorned cross. And it's on this cross, not in the opulence of the palace, where the true power and wisdom of God is revealed. Paul challenges the Corinthians and us to rethink what it means to be strong and wise. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." As we look at this passage, we'll explore how Christ's sacrifice flips the world's values upside down. Christ presents his sacrifice, presents a wisdom that confounds the wise, and it has a strength that empowers the weak. To the world, what looks like a foolish act of sacrifice on the cross has the power to transform lives, redefine success, and unveil the true power of God's love. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 shows us the transformative power of Christ's sacrifice, not as the world sees power, but as the ultimate manifestation of God's love and wisdom. Maybe understanding this, we'll find ourselves not at the gates of a grand palace, but kneeling at the foot of a rugged cross, where true wisdom and power reside. So listen as I read, or read along with me. In 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save lives, to save those who believe. Jews demanded signs and the Greeks looked for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in the ancient city of Corinth, you find a crossroads of cultures, philosophies, and religions. The message of a crucified Messiah, excuse me, was as confounding as it was revolutionary. It was a city that prided itself on intellectual and material prosperity. It was a jewel of the Roman Empire, where the wisdom of the age and the pursuit of status through eloquence, wealth, and power dominated the social fabric. The socio-political climate of Corinth was marked by a stark contrast between the rich and the poor, the powerful and the powerless. It was a city where social status was everything, and the Christian marriage of message of equality before God challenged the very foundations of this society. The Roman Empire, under which Corinth flourished, was known for its Pax Romana, a peace enforced by the sword where power and violence were revered as the ultimate means to achieve and maintain peace and order. Philosophically, Corinth was a melting pot of Greek philosophical thought, predominated by Stoicism and Epicureanism. Stoicism, with its emphasis on virtue as the highest good and living by nature, and Epicureanism, with its focus on pleasure as the ultimate goal of life. Both of these messages were at odds with the Christian gospel that preached joy and fulfillment through self-sacrifice and the embrace of suffering for the sake of Christ. Religious pluralism thrived in Corinth, where many gods and goddesses from the Greek pantheon were worshipped alongside deities from many cultures that intersected in this vibrant port city. Temples and shrines dotted the landscape, each promising its own version of salvation, wisdom, and power. And into this milieu, Paul introduced the radical concept of a single God who offers salvation, not through the strength of human achievement or the wisdom of philosophical debates, but through the weakness and folly of the cross. And it was against this backdrop of political power plays, philosophical debates on the nature of the good life, and a marketplace of religious ideas that Paul declared the cross of Christ to be the true power and wisdom of God. Now, this message wasn't just countercultural, it was revolutionary. It proposed a kingdom that was not of this world, a wisdom that appeared foolish to the wise, and a path to power that led through humility and suffering. As we look deeper into Paul's message to the Corinthians, let's keep in mind all of this that was Corinth of the time. The socio-political, the philosophical, and the religious influences that were shaping the Corinthian believers' understanding of the world. Paul's words were a beacon of divine wisdom and power in a society that could scarcely have conceived of a God who would choose to reveal himself through weakness, suffering, and death on a cross. This understanding will help guide us as we explore how the transformative power of Christ's sacrifice speaks not only to the Corinthians, but to us today, challenging our perceptions of power, wisdom, and success. Into this world, the Apostle Paul delivered a message that went against common wisdom. He was writing to a community fraught with divisions and a fascination with eloquent speakers and philosophical wisdom. Paul presents the gospel of Christ crucified, a message that, by the standards of their society, seemed utterly foolish and weak. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So imagine the scene as Paul, with boldness and divine insight challenges the very foundations of Corinthian pride. He proclaims that people cannot find God's wisdom and power in the rhetoric of skilled orators or philosophers' speculative ideas. Instead, God's wisdom and power are found in the crucified Christ. Now, this message isn't just counterintuitive. As I said earlier, it is revolutionary. To declare the salvation and true wisdom comes through a crucified Messiah was to turn the values of the Roman world upside down. Paul underscores this contrast further by quoting the prophet Isaiah, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." The cross, Paul argues, is God's definitive answer to human wisdom, a divine interpretation that reveals the limitations of human understanding and the depth of God's mysterious plan of salvation. In this context, the Corinthians and we are confronted with a choice: to cling to the world's standards of wisdom and power, or to embrace the foolishness of the cross, which is the true power and wisdom of God. This choice is not merely an intellectual choice. In fact, that's the least part of it. It's a matter of the heart, a call to transformation that challenges our deepest assumptions about success, value, and identity. In the heart of our journey through Lent, as we ponder the profound message of 1 Corinthians, we arrive at a pivotal moment. Applying the transformative power of Christ's sacrifice to our daily lives, this application is not just about understanding the biblical text. It's about allowing this divine wisdom to seep into our bones and to change us from the inside out. The world tells us to pursue success, wisdom, and strength at all costs. It whispers that vulnerability is a weakness, that power is gained through dominance, and that wisdom is the product of human achievement. Yet Paul's message turns these notions on their head. To apply the message of the cross in our lives, we first must embrace what the world views as foolishness. We must acknowledge that true wisdom comes from God, and it often looks radically different than the world's expectations. It means valuing love over power, humility over status, and service over self-promotion. In our workplaces, our relationships, and in the quiet moments of self-reflection, we must challenge the world's wisdom. We must seek God's wisdom in prayer and in Scripture and in the counsel of those walking this faith journey with us. The cross symbolizes strength and weakness. Christ, in his most vulnerable moment, defeated sin and death. This Lent, during this season of Lent, let us find strength in our own vulnerabilities. It's in acknowledging our weakness that we can open ourselves up to the transformative power of God's grace. When we admit that we can't do it alone, we're not professing defeat. We're declaring our need for a Savior. In practical terms, this may mean seeking reconciliation in strained relationships. It could mean asking for help when you're struggling, or offering your own weakness to God in prayer, trusting Him to work through these things that we consider lacks. I lack strength. I lack wisdom. I lack so much. But it's in these weaknesses of mine that God works. It's in the weaknesses of you that God works. It's a countercultural move to find strength in weakness, but it is the path to genuine divine power in our lives. Living out the transformative power of Christ's sacrifice means being agents of that transformation in the world. It's about living in such a way that others can see the difference Christ makes in our lives. It involves acts of love and service that mirror Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Whether it's volunteering your time, offering resources to those in need, or simply extending grace and forgiveness. These actions reflect the power of the cross. They demonstrate that the greatest power lies not in dominion and coercion, but in love, sacrifice, and service. Out in the world, let the message of the cross transform you. Let it challenge the world's definitions of wisdom and strength. Let it empower you in your weakness. And let it inspire you to be an agent of transformation in a world desperate for the hope and love of Christ. This is my prayer that during this Lenten season, we won't just marvel at the power of Christ's sacrifice, but we will live it out in every facet of our lives, embracing the paradox that in our weakness, we are strong. We find ourselves standing at the crossroads of divine wisdom and worldly wisdom. As I asked you earlier to picture the stark contrast between the grandeur of a human-made palace and the humble, unadorned cross, this message serves as a poignant illustration of the profound message Paul delivers to the Corinthians and to us. The true power and wisdom of God are revealed not in the symbols of worldly strength and intelligence, but in the weakness and the folly of the cross. We are invited to embrace what the world views as foolishness, to find strength in our vulnerabilities, and to see the wisdom in God's countercultural message of love and sacrifice. Now Paul's words challenge us to apply the transformative power of Christ's sacrifice to our daily lives, not just as a distant theological concept, but as a living, breathing reality that shapes our every action and decision. Let's go into the world carrying the lessons of the cross. In God's kingdom, wisdom takes the form of humility. Power is found in vulnerability, and strength is revealed through sacrifice. In a world that celebrates the opposite, may our lives reflect the radical, transformative power of Christ's sacrifice. May we, like Paul, not boast in our own achievements or wisdom, but in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to those who are being saved. In closing, listen as I read the covenant prayer prayed by John Wesley. It is my fervent prayer that it will become the prayer of us all. Bow your heads, please. Lord, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will. Let me be employed by you or laid aside for you exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield to all things, yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. Amen.